So today I'm joined with Updesh Singh, who did some work with Anthony Nolan. I will hand it over to you to introduce yourself and what it is that you did for them.
Hi, thank you for having me on. So I'm Updesh Singh, part-time filmmaker. In 2019, July 2019, I was lucky enough to donate some stem cells, bone marrow, to someone who needed it for, I believe it was leukemia. They had leukemia, so I was able to donate some of my bone marrow to help their recovery.
Okay, so briefly talk to us. What is Anthony Nolan?
Yeah, so Anthony Nolan is actually a charity that essentially it reaches out to people to sign up to a register and essentially strangers and gets people who have certain diseases. Like, I think leukemia is like a really big one, like blood cancer, but there are other conditions that also get treated with this, like genetic diseases as well. And they then basically match them up with people who can donate their bone marrow to help them recover, essentially. And they do this all over the world, really. Like someone I spoke to recently, their donor, that so they live in the UK, and the person who received their donation was from Canada.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's literally a global thing.
And what is stem cell donation? What, I mean, we could go into the science a bit. What is a stem cell? But why is it so important to donate our stem cells?
The process is quite straightforward, really. How it worked for me is they gave me, I believe it's GSH or GSF. I can't remember what the actual like injection was, but over the course of 3 days before my donation, they gave me these injections that essentially made my body release the bone marrow into my bloodstream. And then on the day of the donation, they basically just got me in to, I believe it was KCL Hospital in London, King's College, I think it was, where they just hooked me up to this machine, which then took the blood out of my body, separated the bone marrow from the blood, and then put the blood back into my body. So I wasn't donating any blood, just the bone marrow. And that's one of the ways that you can do it. The other way you can do it is that they put you under and extract it from your spine. But for me, this was just a process of like, I think I was there for like, hooked up to this machine for like 5 hours and just watched some TV, just chilled.
It was chill enough to watch TV, but no pain.
No. And I actually probably was one of the fewer cases where I had some issues because I'm a problem child since childhood. But like, it was just like, you know, I got a little bit drowsy, but that's because I have naturally low blood pressure. And they kept pumping me full of fluids, which, sorry for the crudeness of this, but really made me need to wee. And when I asked them to, like, you know, just give me a break so I could go to the bathroom, they drew the curtain, and I was like, yep, I'll just wait until the donation's finished, because I'm not doing that. I'm not peeing into this bottle. And it was actually fine most throughout. You know, they provide you with lunch and everything. And then after the donation, someone came by and like gave me a lifetime gym membership to something active. It's unfortunate because this gym isn't anywhere near I live, but I have a lifetime access to it, so I can go swimming there whenever I want. They have loads of different branches all over the country. But then she also gave me a t-shirt, and it was really cool because like everybody was like, oh, well done, you know, you've done this, you've saved someone's life. But like, when you're doing it, you don't actually grasp the gravity of it. Like, you are quite literally, like, the recovery rate is like over 90%, that I was told. So like, it's some ridiculous stuff, and like, it's very simple, straightforward process, like I said. And even if you are one of the few that has issues, they're not very serious. So like, you know, it's relatively painless process to donate.
Did something push you to end up donating your stem cells?
There was a kid. It was an Asian kid. And I remember there was an advert, a whole campaign for them back in like, this is going back to when I was at university. And I don't want to give away my age here, but this was like back in 2014, first year of university. And I just remember it was a Punjabi kid who needed a donation. And one of the adverts was basically just talking about how people from ethnic minority communities don't actually sign up, or like there's not enough donors. So, I mean, one of the facts that they gave was something like What was it? So patients who are white have like a 72% chance of finding a donor match from an unrelated donor, so like person who's not related to them in terms of like family wise, but this drops to well below like 40% for people from minority ethnic backgrounds, and that includes us. And I guess for me, it was just a simple matter of, it doesn't take much to just sign up, because realistically, it's very rare that you'll probably get called up anyway. Like a lot of my friends signed up and I don't think any of them have been called up, but it's just about being there just in case, because when you do sign up, you could potentially save someone's life.
How long ago was yours?
2019, so that's
okay.
3 years ago, I think.
And how have you found the recovery since? Has it been okay?
I recovered pretty much on the day. We went Nando's after. Oh, it was fine. Yeah, like it was.
That's how you know. When it finishes a Nando's trip, you just know everything went fine.
yeah, we went for a big, big munch. It was really cool because, like, funnily enough, they were willing to do a lot. So, like, they were willing to cover loss of earnings. They were willing to cover travel. They were willing to cover the hotel. So they, all of these things, like, you know, if you had to take time off and you don't get paid for it, they'll pay you your day rates up to 2 days, I think. And then they're willing to cover the hotel stay. And it wasn't even like a shabby hotel. It was like a nice hotel as well. So like they do pull out a lot of the stops to make sure that you're absolutely comfortable and your needs are taken care of while doing this. So it's kind of like a little bit of a holiday, right?
Yeah.
In that sense.
It's a nice way to put it, yeah.
a free trip to London.
When London's not cheap either, so.
Exactly. You can go to London, you breathe, and you've already spent 50 quid just to breathe. Yeah, just to breathe some pollution. Yeah.
Yeah. What diseases does stem cell research, donation, and registering to be a stem cell donor tackle?
I'm only really aware of leukemia, really. Like, that's the main one that I'm aware of. And I believe that's the most common form of cancer in children. So like you can imagine that if you're a parent, especially from like a parent like from one of our communities, and your kid gets this horrible condition, you'd want every single possibility of having the kid to get the best treatment possible. And that means more people signing up, more people from different backgrounds signing up, because it is tied to ethnicity, because people who are ethnically from the same backgrounds are more genetically matches with each other. So you couldn't necessarily donate to someone from like Spain, for example, because genetically you wouldn't match up with them. But someone from like Punjab, East Punjab, West Punjab, or maybe even Kashmir, you'd be fine.
And do you know who you donated to, or have you been in touch with someone that you've donated to?
So this was actually one of the questions they asked, like, would I be here to do? And I said yes, but like only if the other person was comfortable.
Yeah.
I didn't want to make their recovery about me, and I didn't want them to feel like, oh, they owed me anything. So like if they were cool, and if they are cool, I'm happy to meet up with them whenever. I think there is a lot of regulation around it. So like, I think sometimes you have to wait 2 years before you can know who you've donated to. Mm-hmm. So to answer your question, no, I have no idea who I donated to. So like,
wow.
Yeah. To be fair, until I got asked to do this podcast and like, you know, started like getting like, you know, emails from like Anthony Nolan and stuff again, I actually forgot I even did it, to be honest. So like yeah, it's just one of those things where like I'd be happy to meet up with them, and I'd be happy to like, you know, see how they're getting on, but again, it's only if they're comfortable.
Yeah, of course. And I was about to follow that up with like, how has this impacted people's lives? Obviously you're still waiting for your story because you haven't met the person yet, but do you have, you know, have other people told you about their experiences and how it's impacted their lives?
Yeah, I mean, so I've heard both sides of it, in the sense of, I know someone who had to donate, this is a few years ago, someone from university, they had to donate to a cousin of theirs who sadly didn't make it. But, you know, with other people, like the vast majority of people I've spoken to, it's usually the happy story where the happy ending, where the person recovers, and usually it's without needing to go for another round of treatment. Because I think this is the donation happens after chemotherapy. So they've gone through a lot to get to that stage. So yeah, I think for them to then finally get onto the road to men, being on the men. So like one person from university that signed up, they donated and they actually got to meet their donor as well. And then they found out that their donor was like a semi-pro hockey player. So like, you know, that greatly improved the quality of that person's life again. Like they were able to go back and play hockey again.
So did you have to be in shape almost to then donate your stem cells?
I don't think you need to be in shape in the sense that you don't need to be like Jason Momoa, for example, but I think you know, as long as you're doing your bear care and all that, you're all right. I think you have to be in like general health, like generally good health. But like, mm-hmm. I think other than that, you don't need to be some like hero or anything. You can just literally be just an average person with average good health. And yeah, the only stipulation they ask for is you can't donate. I think it's something like 6 months after you've had a tattoo, but I think that's the same with like giving blood, because yeah. I guess that's just because you've had needles in your arms and stuff. And yeah.
And let's talk a bit more about the donation process. So start mm-hmm. from the beginning when you signed up to the register. How did it go from then onwards?
So I actually signed up before they just started doing swabs. So I know that with COVID, everybody's probably gotten really, really comfortable with swabs. But when I first signed up, they made us spit into these bottles. And the thing is, you're not even allowed to get water because obviously that would dilute down your spit. So you're just sitting there for like 3 minutes, just really disgusting, spitting into these bottles. It was really sickening. But it was relatively easy to sign up. They just had like a stall at the SU. And I was walking past with a group of friends. I actually made them sign up twice. Like some of them, I made them sign up twice because we did it again. Have you ever heard of a student lock-in?
No, I haven't.
Right. So in Leicester, Highcross, they used to do this thing called a student lock-in where only students would be able to go into the shopping mall after hours, like 7 p.m. or whatever.
Wow.
And basically get super discounts.
Okay, and cool.
Anthony Nolan, one of the shops, they weren't actually selling any of their merchandise. They just had Anthony Nolan taking donors up. And I just had everyone in the group. I literally just like forced them all into that shop and was like, go sign up. And like just dragged them by their ears and just go on, spit into this, go on. and then I was just waiting on the list. So like I signed up in 2014. And yeah, 5 years later, I got called and said, oh, you may be a match for someone. We want to take some more tests. And then what ended up happening was, and this is how I learned things about myself. So I learned like my blood type and all that, but I also learned that I have low blood pressure. And the way I found that out was, so I've had blood taken out before and mm-hmm. I've never had any issues, but the nurse, when she came to my house, she was like, oh, are you okay? This and the other. She was like, you know, just looking after me. I was like, yeah, I'm fine. And she was like, do you want to lie down while doing this? I was like, no, I'll be fine. Like I've had blood taken out. It's never been an issue. And I then actually fainted because I have low blood pressure. So when I fainted, I woke up on the floor. And she obviously had like, you know, put me on the floor and had her head and like hand under my head to make sure I didn't whack my head or anything. And when I woke up, I kind of just looked at her and I was like, who are you? Like, how did you get in my house kind of thing? Just like, didn't realize. I was like, did the dog let you in or something? And then it all slowly came back to me. But yeah, no, when they took the blood, then they did some more tests. And then, I think they wanted to make sure that I was like a complete match with the person and make sure that I was in good health. And then that's when they gave me those injections I spoke about earlier, the injections to make your bone marrow enter your bloodstream. And that essentially... was the donation then at that point. And the funny thing is that was when I was doing a graduate scheme course for software development as well. So it was one of those things where they told me, oh, if you're missing any days, you're kind of screwed. And then I told the trainer, I was like, by the way, I'm donating bone marrow. And he just looked at me, he was like, yeah, no, that's legit. That's fine. You know, if anyone says anything to you, don't worry, I'll cover for you. Cause that's serious. Go on. And I was like, cool. But
you can excuse now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can go. But no, it was a really good experience in the sense that, you know, you meet a lot of interesting people. And the thing is, they give you they make sure that you're absolutely comfortable right up until the point of the actual donation as well, to withdraw if needed. And the thing is, they kept saying, oh, if you do withdraw, like, you need to let us know straight away. And they kept hammering that point home. And I only found out after donating that's because they, to make the person ready for the donation, they need to stop treating them for the cancer. So it's like, that's why they need to like rush, like, because if you withdraw, then they need to rush them back onto the treatment.
I see.
So that's right. Why, yeah. But no, it's, to be honest, like, start to finish, it's a very quick process. I think they told me in like, thinking like end of May and the start of July. No, wait, yeah, the start of July, I had donated the bone marrow. So within the month, basically, very quick process.
Wow, that is very quick. Within a month, that's a bit insane. But how did your family react to that? Especially when you fainted on the floor as well, by the way.
Most of them laughed, to be honest. Most of them didn't really care about like my personal well-being. One of my uncles, he just found it hilarious that he was like, oh, you fainted. And everybody actually finds it quite funny. It wasn't serious. And like I said, I'm just a problem child. Like most people, the vast majority of people don't have these issues. It's just because I'm a bit of an idiot. But it's just, I'm not really any. I didn't choose to have a little brush. But yeah, no, I don't think anyone really had any issues. Some of the elders and some of like the other people were like, oh, you know, withdraw consent kind of thing. Like, don't do it. Don't do that kind of thing. And it's like a general distrust of the process itself. But like, I feel like that distrust is born from different reasons for different, you know, contexts. But this process, like this thing that I did, doesn't warrant that distrust. Does that make sense? So like, it's completely safe and completely viable. And I think anyone and everyone should sign up.
Yeah, why is it so important, especially within our community? Obviously, it's important for everyone to sign up, but in our community, things like this are not talked about a lot, even with like blood donation, I think.
Yeah, no, so like blood donation, stuff like that, we definitely need more people doing it. But like if I, like right now, the reason it's important is because people from our communities, and that's like South Asian, but like Punjabi, any kind of like minority ethnic community, you just don't have enough donors. And because of like how much, like how important it is for people to be as much genetically compatible as possible, you need all the different people from different communities signing up, because it's just too much of a mix otherwise. And then at that point, like I says earlier, like, you know, your chances drop from where, if you're white, you know, majority, you've got a 72% chance of finding a donor. But if you're, you know, Black, Asian, non-white in general, that drops to 37% of finding a donor, which is obviously terrible. And to my knowledge, I'm pretty sure there's two kids right now, two South Asian kids, and like literally babies, like toddlers, that need donors right now. The BBC did an article about it. So there's one Pakistani kid, and they're calling for like articles, they call for people from the community to sign up. So like, because like I said, the recovery rate is just high, like it's really effective. And like I said, you're most likely going to save this person's life, so it's definitely worth your time.
I think that's what it is. It's the fear of like the unknown, so not knowing what happens during the process, after the process, you know, and especially things like this, which are very taboo in our community. We don't really talk about, you know, donating as such, but
being sick. I'll be honest, sorry to interrupt you. Yeah, no, I'll be honest, the Anthony Nolan team, they really do make you feel as though, and it's because they do feel this way, your health is just as important as the person receiving your donation. So throughout the entire process, they kept hammering home the point every time we'd have a call or an email, please get in contact with us if you have any questions at all, like whatever questions you need to ask, they'd answer them. Whatever you feel like you need in terms of like, you know, specific accommodations, this is going to sound silly, when they says, oh, you know, when the nurse comes out, do you guys need us to make any specific accommodations? And I said, well, I have a big dog, so I would prefer not to have to put him out or away. Can you bring someone in who's comfortable with dogs? And both times it says, yeah, we'll find someone who's very comfortable with dogs. But sorry, you were saying something about the sick community.
Yeah, I was going to say, as a Sikh, we're taught to do seva and to give back, but I think because there's so much noise and rule almost from like our community and that's higher, that let's talk about the Punjabi community or South Asian community, where we all just think this is like a no-go, like now you should be doing things like this. As a Sikh, you stand there and you think, actually, this is what we've been taught to do, that this is why we're here. We should be doing things as such and doing this seva to help other people. So has Sikhi impacted your experience with all
Yeah, I
the
mean,
donations and everything?
100%. I saw this as part of my dasvand. Dasvand isn't just money, it's time, it's everything, right? It's your energy, it's you as a person. And when you get called up to give your head, it's given in different ways and different contexts. And when you're performing seva, it can always manifest in different ways. And like I said, it's not just one size fits all. I think from our community, and this is probably a bit of a dig, but I feel like in the diaspora, we've become very complacent and very, we'll give our this one to the Godura Golok and that's it. That's all we really do. But like in terms of like the wider community services and all that, and that we used to do, back in the day, you don't see it as much. You don't see it. And that's not like, oh, we should take more responsibility because obviously times are hard. And like, social change doesn't just happen overnight. We need it. It's a long, steady process, but we have all the tools given by the gurus already. And that was, I think, my relationship with Sikhi was probably the main reason why I signed up in the first place. Because it obviously Sikhi always talks about giving, but I just saw this as something as like the bare minimum. Like all you were doing was literally just signing some forms and spitting in a bottle. Well, now this time you'd be swabbing, and that's it. And since COVID, everybody is now used to swabs, so you're all good. And it's not that intensive. You're not putting it up your nose or anything. It's just on your gums, so you don't even need to put it like all the way back your mouth. So like, yeah, you're not. It doesn't like it sounds like such a big thing, but it actually isn't. And the thing is that the result of it is potentially saving someone's life, which is everything, right? Like you're not changing the world, but you are changing someone's world.
And do you think your love for Sikhi has grown since doing what you did, which was absolutely incredible?
I'll be honest with you, I actually don't see this as something that's completely far out there in terms of like incredible act of seva. I just see it as the bare minimum. So whenever people would say, oh, you've done something incredible, it kind of grates on me a little bit because I'm like, I didn't do anything, right? Like I just signed up and then sat in a bed for 4 hours. That's it, right? The incredible thing is, and I guess that's the nature of it, that's just me. But we do need more people to make that decision to just say, yeah, it's not that big of a deal. And in the sense of signing up, but then it's a big deal in terms of the impact. So, yeah, I guess to an extent, to answer your question, because I just digressed there a little bit. Yeah, no, it is kind of, I guess my relationship with Siki has grown because I do kind of see this as an act of service, like a physical manifestation of the stuff we like profess, right? So like it's like we talk a big game and now you're actually walking the walk.
So tell me more about Anthony Nolan. What do they do?
So Anthony Nolan's a charity that or an organization, I'm not sure if they're a charity, but an organization that was set up by this kid called Anthony Nolan's mom. What was her name? I think it was Shirley Nolan. And that was set up in like the 1970s or the 60s, I think it was the 70s, because her son, Anthony Nolan, needed a donation, needed a stem cell donor. And I think this was the first like stem cell register in the world. So like it was kind of like new ground as well. Like they were groundbreaking, they were pioneering uncharted territories in terms of like doing this. And since then, like the legacy of it has just been making connections between people who need the help, like in terms of the treatment and people who are willing to give. And the thing is like the criteria, I think the criteria to sign up is like the I think the only stipulations they ask for is that you're between the ages of 16 and 30 to sign up and to be able to donate. So like it's really aimed at young people now. And I think that Athenona does like really well in terms of like making things as accessible as possible for us, like, because young people, I mean, I think everything's just in flux for us in our lives, right? And I think Athenona has been really good at adapting to the changing climate in the sense of like the world around us as well, like, you know, when they make things, how easy they make things for people like us young people in terms of like, you know, all the questions we might have about signing up, Athenona's quite ready to answer them.
Okay, so why is it important for our community, South Asians, Sikhs, to sign up to be a stem cell donor?
So I think this is like talking back to probably what I've briefly touched upon before, but like to my understanding, because I'm not really a scientist, so I don't know how exactly it works, but to be able to make the donation, you need to be as much of a genetic match as possible. And that includes someone's ethnic background. So it's not so much about the faith, like the Sikh community, but it's more like the Punjabi community, for example. So when, interestingly enough, a little digression, when I donated, there was that whole debate about whether or not Sikhs should be turned into an ethnicity. And when I donated on the form, Punjabi was a natural ethnicity you could tick. So like, I think even Athenona recognizes that even within, for example, within India, people who, like, for example, me and Jew from a Punjabi background, we'd be more, probably more compatible with more people from a Pakistani background than we would from probably people from like an Indian background, for example, where I don't know how much of a genetic match we would be with someone who's Tamil, for example. Does that make sense? Because that's like a whole different ethnicity. That's a whole different group of people. But with why the importance of why it's why people from different communities need to sign up to this is literally because there's just not enough donors. And the thing is that these types of diseases affect us at the same rates, right? So it's, you know, just as many kids from our community get blood cancer as people from kids from like white communities, just as many people get these conditions and need this treatment as people from the white community. And yet for some reason, and for probably multiple different reasons, people from our communities don't sign up.
So would you say that overall, your experience with Anthony Nolan was a good experience?
I won't lie. I think my experience with Anthony Nolan was actually kind of great. It was a really great experience in the sense of they catered to me however they could and kind of made the process as painless as possible, right? Like there was little to no expectation to put being put upon me other than just turning up when they asked me to. Does that make sense? So I just hopping on a train and heading down. So yeah, in terms of the experience itself with Anthony Nolan, I think it's been overly positive. I would be very surprised if I came across anyone who said they had a negative experience with them. And that's just because of my experience was that good. Like, and that's just an assumption. Like, I feel like this is how they would treat anyone that's on the donor list. Because at the end of the day, their goal is to make sure that everyone involved gets through this. Does that make sense? And like, there's no issues caused by this. So when people say, oh, what are like, are there any like risks to donating? I'm like, to my knowledge, no. And like, cause like I says, I'm one of the more problematic cases because of my own like health issues or whatever, but I managed to do it relatively fine, like without so many issues. I feel like if you're the average person who doesn't have the same kind of like body conditions as me, you'd be absolutely fine. And I feel like Anthony Nolan does really well in getting over that fear. So like if you sign up and you have that fear to, you know, you don't necessarily want to go through with it, they're not going to kind of like pressure you into it either. So like you not once did I feel pressured into going through with it, if that makes sense. Like they always ensured that this was still my choice and they wanted to make sure that consent was always given. They never presumed consent. So just because, and they never assumed that just because I gave consent a week ago, I made the same decision today. So they kept asking and they did everything they could to make sure that whatever queries, whatever questions I had, whatever concerns I had, they would be there to kind of support me through it with whatever questions I had. So yeah, I think in terms of like overall, the experience was positive, and I feel like more people from our community definitely need to sign up.
Obviously, that is amazing to hear. And we know that Anthony Nonan have also provided us with a link that I will put in the description for our listeners to go and have a look at as well. You can sign up if you wish to also be a stem cell donor. The link is www.anthonynolan.org/SickKeyClass. So obviously go have a look and check that out as well. Uddesh Singh, thank you so much for joining me on this podcast. I am definitely going to have to welcome you back another time to talk about other topics within SickKey, because I know you have a podcast as well.
I really do appreciate that. And thank you for having me. But yeah, I set up a podcast a little while ago that I do very sporadically, so it's only something that I'm starting to take a little bit more seriously now, but it's called The Echo Chamber. We discuss loads of different topics on it. I think two of the more popular ones are the qualities of friendship and the value of debate. But then I also do like a little spin-off of it where I talk about history. So I recently released a video podcast, like an actual video, me retelling the story of a Sikh World War I veteran. The goal with this is just to kind of tell our stories, because like, if we don't tell our stories, who the hell will, kind of thing. So yeah, the more of us that are speaking on this, like you, for example, SickKey Class, the better for me, like from my perspective.
Once again, if you're age 16 and 30 and in good health, we absolutely urge you to sign up to the Anthony Nolan Register, as Uddesh did. The online sign-up survey only takes a few minutes, and then the swab itself only a few seconds once it arrives in the post. That link again is www.anthonynolan.org/SickKeyClass.